Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Marissa. Happy birthday to you. Yes, today is Marissa Atterbury's birthday, and we hope she's tuned in right now. I know that Patricia and some of the gals here at New Wine Ministry are going to be celebrating her over a beautiful lunch today. And so we wanted to celebrate you as well, Marissa. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the Watchman here on the Omega Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio. It's going to be a very busy morning. There's a lot going on all around us. But what a great way to start the day by celebrating a dear friend that is very much connected to the work of the ministry here at New Wine Ministry. Marissa, once again, happy birthday. I dare not give away or tell your age, first of all, because I don't know it, and I don't want to know it, because I've always been told you should never know a woman's age. So anyways, wherever you are in your number count, happy birthday. May this be a year of great blessing. May it be a year of rich blessing. And we love you and appreciate you, Marissa. Once again, happy birthday, and may it truly be a year of God's very best for you. And as we move on here, I was thinking about the birthdays where Elder George called in yesterday, and we realized it was his birthday on Saturday and wanted to sing happy birthday to George and tell him, you know, here, George, I believe is 86. Maybe 87. I'm not 100% sure, but he's in his mid-80s. And talking about individuals in their mid-80s, I received a phone call today from a friend of ours. We had been praying for a man by the name of Bob, and his wife's name was Joyce, or is Joyce. And Joyce called this morning and informed us that Bob had passed away last night while he was in the hospital. And he was preparing to go into some senior care. I think Bob is probably up around his 87, 88 range, may have been even a little bit more than that. But he was a dear, dear friend of our ministry and of our lives. He loved Patricia and I and Pastor Ken and Elder George. We all went to their house every once in a while, and Joyce would make us biscuits and bacon and eggs. And Elder George, they always laughed when I met with them about Elder George because he loved their muscadine jelly. She used to make it. Joyce made muscadine jelly from scratch. They had it in their trees, believe it or not. And George would go down there and he would eat all the muscadine jelly. And Bob would always joke about that. And Bob was a pretty tough guy, let me tell you. He was about 6'4", as I remember him. We just saw him a couple of weeks ago. But he was at least 6'4", and he loved Jesus. He was one of the tough guys, but when you mentioned Jesus or started praying, he would break out into tears and worship and praise to the Lord. And Bob has gone to be with the Lord. And we know 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 was written not for a preacher of rapture, but for those that were sorrowing over the loss of their loved ones. And we were to be comforting one another with the words that we will see them again. And that is the hope of the resurrection. That is the promise that we have. That was the purpose of reading or writing 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from the apostle's heart. He just didn't want people to be overwhelmed with grief, but rather rejoice that we will see our loved ones who have died in Jesus again. Whether we live or whether we die, we're going to see them again. Hallelujah. And I just shout for the joy of the Lord on that. And so to Joyce and her daughter, Liz, we send our condolences, and we want to just fill their hearts with hope according to the word of God, a true hope, a real hope that they will see their father and husband once again. Last night, Patricia and I had a very unique opportunity to join David Hebner on his radio broadcast. And we did exactly that. Excuse me. David Hebner, as you know, we interviewed him. Excuse me. A couple of weeks ago here on the Omega Radio Network. And David has made movies and has gotten radically born again. And he has quite a ministry, his own David Hebner TV and The Last Evangelist, I believe is the website, David Hebner, The Last Evangelist. You could type that in. And we'll make sure we get a copy of the interview that we did. And there are several people, by the way, that we have interviewed that are wanting to get the copies. We are lacking some technical abilities of taking CDs and putting them into a computer and ripping the information and then sending that information to a file and then getting it up on the Omega Radio Network, or actually having the ability to send that information to somebody else so they could hear the interview that we did with them. If anybody knows how to do that, make sure you let us know and not just guess at it, but really know how to burn CDs or rip CDs and get that information sent to a Dropbox and so on and so forth. We would appreciate it. David Hebner was crying out last night concerning the Feast of the Lord and the blackout, really, of the church's mentality towards the feasts. And so we were invited to talk into that, speak into that. And we had a great time with David Hebner and his ministry and some of the friends that have contacted us since last night. And that's awesome. And just for your information out there again, you know, it's not too far away. We're already on September 3 today. It is September 3rd. And on October 13th, which is about 1 month and 10 days from now, we will begin our celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. And before that, 14 days earlier, when we get to around September 30th this year, September 29th or 30th, will be the first day of the seventh month, which will be the Day of Trumpets, or what they know as Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah. And then 10 days after that, there will be the Day of Atonement, one of the highest holy days in Israel. And then on the 14th day of this seventh month, which will be translated October 13th, on our Gregorian calendar, we'll begin the seven-day celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. We here at New Wine Ministries will be hosting it once again, and I am looking for those individuals that God is wanting to bring to Northwest Arkansas to speak the word of the Lord. We're waiting on Brother Daniel to let us know if he's going to be making it or not. We will be on standby with that and be interviewing him tomorrow, most likely, unless I need to go to a funeral tomorrow. I was asked to conduct that and to be part of that. So I will definitely put Bob and Joyce before this radio broadcast. I think that's super important. But we'll know more information as we get through this morning, and then hopefully we could send an email or a text message out to our listeners. And by the way, if you are a listener to the Omega Radio Network and you would like a morning text to let you know that we're coming on the air, we send that out to about 30 or 40 people right now. And so if you would like to get on that list, just email me or text me. You could text me at, here's my phone number. Hopefully you'll have a pen or paper. You could text Patricia and I at 858-864-8712. That's 858-864-8712. You could send us a text and say, hey, you know, send me a reminder every morning, Monday through Friday. We'll do that. And also you can email us at VXavier. That stands for Vincent Xavier. So VXAVIER, VXavier 777 at gmail.com. If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to make that contact, that's the place to do it. And there's all kinds of other information, but not important right now. So if you'd like to contact us, that's how you do it. We could get you on our little list. And again, anybody that is savvy in putting together a messenger, you know, text or, you know, the technical side of things, we would certainly invite you to give us a hand on putting this ministry more on the map. I mean, we are out there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're broadcasting all kinds of different individuals, and we're always looking for those special people that want their message to go forward. We are unfortunately unable to tell how far reaching our ministry goes. That's just the way it is. I'm always very surprised when people tell me they've been listening. For example, the couple that sent a check for $500 about 2 weeks ago because they heard we were talking about getting our ark up and running and preparing for the Feast of Tabernacles, and that was from New Hampshire. And I was thinking to myself, I don't know who these people are, but they sent a check from New Hampshire, and I was just kind of amazed. So we don't know how far reaching the broadcasts go, but people are listening, and maybe you know how to do those statistics. Again, we would love somebody to help us out bringing Omega Radio to a more distant platform to get this radio ministry out there, not just for our sake, but for the sake of all the different voices that we've put on Omega Radio. And there have been people that have invested into this ministry. I mean, we were blessed with a brand new computer, this computer that's been running nonstop for quite some time now, which is absolutely amazing because it's the very best computer for what we do. And we're thanking God for that. And that was a major investment. That was a $1,600 investment. And then, of course, other friends that helped us out 2 years ago with a $1,000 donation to get Omega Radio and everything that was necessary up and running. It was a major financial investment, and I don't believe it's intended solely at this time for the backside of a desert, although it is reaching out to the remnant, there's no doubt. And what we're wanting to do is equip God's people with these messages. And we put people on like Jay Sekulow. We put a Glenn Beck on every once in a while when we think there's a message there that we really need to hear. So we have that intelligent political context along with the Word of God. David Fisher or Brian Fisher from the radio networks out there. Sandy Rios. We play Bob Hagen and we play Glenda Lomax. And we put on, Pastor Ted from Florida, which we need to be praying for Florida right now. So in a Cereal Brain and you name it, David Wilkerson, Derek Prince, we have Billy Graham. And what I do is as often as I can, as I get here and I upload information and messages to the radio. And what it does, it plays, you know, throughout the days and oftentimes weeks on end, the messages are just going out there. So we want to draw attention to the Omega Radio Network for the well-being and benefit of the listeners out there, because I know they're going to hear something that they're going to respond to, react to. Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, Patricia, her roundtable discussion all the time on Omega Radio Network, interviews with Brock Hollett, Daniel Seckham, David Hebner. I can go on down the list of how many men and women we've interviewed.
on these radio programs. Even Patrick Wood with the technology, artificial intelligence, technocracy rising, and it goes on down the list. And so we have a lot of really good information, a lot of good Bible studies we put out there, and we just want to keep things moving forward, which I believe is the word of the Lord to God's people this September coming into it. All I hear is move forward, move forward. Don't be stagnant. Don't look back. Move forward. Be faithful with a little bit, and God will entrust you with much. And that's what we do. Unfortunately, today, we are waking up to 25 people dead so far. 25 people dead in Southern California that were on a simple, diving expedition. They were going to by an island in Southern California, and there was an explosion of some sort on the boat, and you could hear the cries of the people that were calling for emergency 911. But so far, and there are many others missing that they have not found, and the reality is sinking in that you're going to have numbers nearing 40 people on this boat that burned. And the people right now, 25 people dead. A couple of weeks ago, 22 people shot and killed in El Paso. 13 people dead in Dayton, Ohio, I believe was the number. 7 people dead in Odessa, Texas. They're now saying just 5 people so far with the massive storm that hit the Bahamas dead. And you know, when I'm looking at this, and I'm sensing that it's either an active shooter, or it's weather related, or it's an expedition gone wrong. And it's little by little. Have you noticed? You know, you just look at the numbers: 58 in Las Vegas, 26 in a Baptist church in Texas, 17 in Parkland, Florida. And you go on down the list, and what you're seeing is these little bits. And I asked the Lord about it. I said, you know, what is this? What, you know, why is it not just one big massive deal? And the Lord brought me to a passage of scripture I want to read with you this morning. I think this is very telling, and it may not make a lot of sense, but you're going to get the gist of it. And here it is. In Ezekiel chapter 15, verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree?" Now, let me read that out of the Amplified version. It might make a little bit more sense. And it says it this way. Oh, the glory. All right. So I think I have it. Here you go. So here's what it says in the Amplified. "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, how is the wood of the grapevine," and then in parentheses, Israel, speaking of Israel, "better than any wood of a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Can wood be taken from it to make any object? Or can men take a peg from it on which to hang any vessel? If it has been thrown into the fire for fuel, and the fire has consumed both of its ends, and the middle section has been charred, is it suitable or useful for anything? Notice this, even when it was complete, it was not useful and was not made into anything. How much less after the fire has burned part of it and the remainder of it is charred? Can it still be made into anything? Verse 6, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, like the wood of the grapevine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so have I given up the people of Jerusalem, and I set my face against them. Though they have come out of the fire, yet the fire will consume them. Then you will know without any doubt that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. I will make the land desolate, ruined, deserted, because they have acted unfaithfully through their idolatry, says the Lord God." What was the prophet Ezekiel being told by the Spirit of God? And I started looking at all these different groups, these, you know, the 25 dead, the 22 dead, the 13 dead, the 7 dead, the 26 dead, the 58 dead. And we could go on down the road about how many different things are going on, and you kind of couple that with the 300 Americans every week that are dead from opioid overdoses, You talk about the people, you know, being shot and killed in different cities. I mean, it's little by little. But the thing that the Lord asked me is, how do you create a raging fire? Do you, when you go to your fireplace, take the biggest piece of wood you have and stick it in the fireplace and set it on fire? No. What happens is you get all the kindling. And all the kindling is where the fire begins. And when you take the 25 dead and the 22 dead and the 13 dead and the 7 dead and the 58 dead and the 26 dead and the 17 dead, and you see these events all around you, and there are so many more than what I'm mentioning, what you're seeing, what you're witnessing from a biblical perspective is the kindling of a massive fire. And we didn't even talk about the people that died in the massive wildfires of Southern California. We didn't talk about the people that drowned in the floods of Houston or in the Carolinas. We didn't talk about how many hurricanes, when they hit Puerto Rico, people died in those hurricanes a year or two ago. There are many things we've left off, but what you need to see is that America, like Jerusalem, has dealt unfaithfully with the Lord, and we have been idolatrous. And we have saturated our ground, the earth that we live on, with the innocent blood. And you know these things, and we've been proclaiming these things. But you need to understand that all this kindling, according to the Word of God, is fuel for the fire that's going to burn in America. And this nation is being weighed in the balance in a very terrible way. I mean, that's just a fact. And that's what's going on in the world we live right now. We're watching it. The fire is being stoked. The kindling is burning. And we go back to the prophecy in the book of Amos. And you remember that prophecy. We brought it out in the right before the spring this year. And that prophecy was of many dead bodies, right? And this is what we saw, many dead bodies. And you go to Amos chapter 3, and it read this way in verse 1, "Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit." And you'll remember that was the epiphany of the Spirit of God, just opening the eyes, taking the scales off, and revealing something about a basket of summer fruit. And so we knew that this prophecy was about the summertime. And he said, "Amos, what do you see?" And I said, "A basket of summer fruit." Then said the Lord unto me, "The end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore." In other words, God would just pass by them without bringing the judgment. But he said, "I'm not going to pass by them anymore. And the summertime is going to be the beginning of what he says next in verse 3. All the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place, and they shall cast them forth with silence." And so when we read that before springtime about the coming summer of violence, and it wasn't just, you know, relegated to the United States of America, and we have seen violence from Venezuela to Hong Kong and everywhere in between, and the escalation of war now with Israel and all these different players out there in the Middle East. And then we've seen this summer of violence, dead bodies here, dead bodies there, dead bodies over here, dead bodies here. And so what I'm believing God is saying here, and what's happening, that as we came into the summer of 2019, the summer of violence, that we're seeing it. And I'm hearing phrases, it's so interesting, from the news media that they're saying things like unspeakable violence coming from that Category 5 hurricane that just sat over the Bahamas. Nobody knows the extent of the damage that's been done there. Nobody knows what's going to happen in the days ahead. But this, again, is the kindling for the fire. This is the fuel. This is just the beginning of what is going to rage within this nation. And you need to know it, and you need to understand it. And when that massive fire, when they take the big logs, not these little kindlings, and one life is too much in my understanding, God, it's the honest truth. One life is too much, but like in the drug culture, once is too much, 1,000 times is not enough. There's a lot of kindling going on in our nation with these deaths and shootings and tragedies. And what you have to recognize is that the big logs are going to be put onto the fire. The big logs are what follows the kindling, because now the fire is burning and now comes the big logs. And what are the big logs going to bring? And what are the big logs going to produce in the summer of violence? I believe it has begun. It is possible that what has begun this year in the summer of violence that we see all around us is that will extend all the way to 2020 when you see groups like Antifa released. When you're going to see things happening during for the 2020 elections that I think the big logs are going to begin to happen. Now, they could put a big log on the fire before September 22nd this year. And we're talking now 19 days. The next 19 days, it is potentially possible that a big log is going to be cast into the kindling fire that we have been witnessing since the beginning of summer 2019. There's been an uptick. There's been an upgrade. We've watched it. We're seeing it. But the big log, and maybe what we, you know, the results of the Bahamas, you know, is part of that. I don't know. Only God knows. But I know that from now on, there's enough kindling, and there may be some more kindling events. The FBI director said that every 2 weeks we're going to be somewhere because active shooting is going to just keep on going on. We're living in a volatile world. It is the judgment that we warned about, that we spoke about for years that would come upon this nation. When we began to prophesy along with many other God's people about what was coming upon our nation, well, it's here now. And that's what you're witnessing. And yet you're still seeing the crowds and the multitudes going here and there. But a friend of mine came up to me who has a very prophetic mantle, and he said, it's going to happen. You're going to see a major attack against a major sporting event. The soft targets are everywhere in this country. Honest to God, that the Islamic terrorists that are here, that are the ISIS fighters, the Al-Qaeda fighters, the Hamas fighters, those sleeper cells, those terror cells, those domestic cells that are going to awaken to the, you know, the debauchery of our times, they could hit one of 1,000, 10,000 soft targets. And I warned a few weeks ago that there would come a time when there would be 100 men, just 100 men, that would break off into twos, making 50 groups, going through just about every state within our union, every state within this nation, and pulling off some kind of active shooter event, whether it be in a hospital, a school, a mall, wherever it is. 50 groups of two could do some incredible damage, and I believe that's on the way. And again, what I'm sharing with you, the reason why all this stuff is happening, people go, why 25? Why 58? Why 17? Why 10 over here? Why 5 over here? It's the kindling, according to Ezekiel. It's the kindling. It's the fuel for the fire. The big logs, the big attacks that are going to take thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions. Now you say, where do you get that from? Are you being dramatic? No, I've read my Bible in the book of Revelation, and I've noted in the book of Revelation that there are events that will unfold that will take not just millions. Here's a mind-blowing fact. Billions. One-third of the population of the world. One-quarter of the population of the earth. We're nearing 8 billion people. You start getting to a quarter of that, and you're talking 2 billion. And if you're going to keep it at the 7 billion, then you're talking 1.5 billion plus. 1.75 billion people. So the Bible predicts a time at the end in the global reality, billions of people losing life, which is in accordance with population control mandates. If you're going to control the planet and you're going to control the inhabitants, you have to be the security that they're all going to lean to, especially when billions of people are dying. People are already looking to the government to disarm the nation. because of the active shooters. And once that happens, the wrong form of government comes to power to a disarmed population. And everything that everybody has warned against begins to happen. Yesterday, we were talking about what God was doing in the midst of this within the remnant, how he was perfecting himself. In other words, growing himself up on the inside of us. That God is dealing with a remnant of people on this earth that are walking through this fire, walking through this time of tribulation. We still believe, and I'm not moving from this position until I could be proven wrong. I still believe that the first five seals of the book of Revelation have opened and the sixth seal is at the door with a massive global earthquake that's going to shift everything to the next level. And right after that sixth seal event, we come to chapter 7 where there's a sealing of the elect of God. Just like in Ezekiel, the man with the inkhorn puts a mark upon those who sigh and cry for the abominations committed in the land, that they would be preserved from what was about to happen, the six men with their slaughtering weapons. Well, in the book of Revelation, there's a sealing by the angels upon the elect of God. For what purpose? To keep them from the tribulation that's coming. And what is that? It begins with the four winds. And the four winds represent the first four trumpet blasts. And then after the first four trumpet blasts, there's three more woes. And what are these winds and these woes producing? A turmoilous sea. And that's where you get to Revelation 13, that out of the sea came a beast. And it's just a lot of connecting the dots. You know, whether we're right on target, whether we're off a little left or right, we're in the ballpark of what is happening in our world today. And so that's where I'm going to leave it for right now. Say good morning to Patricia Joy. Good morning, dear lady. How are you?
Well, good morning. Everything is coming into its conclusion. And I'm glad to be alive because I want to get everything right. We have one more day given to us to get it right. And I believe what you're speaking of, and a lot of people don't want to hear this, I know. And there are many on the media saying that we're not under judgment, but they're not correct. I do not believe that they are correct. I believe we are under judgment. To me, it's very obvious that we're under judgment, and the storms have technical intelligence to them, as far as I'm concerned. This is what I am seeing. They have technical intelligence behind them, and this is a war between good and evil. I believe they're being technically manipulated with great intelligence behind it, evil intelligence behind it. And I believe that the prayers of the saints are working against that evil, even unbeknownst to them, because I've heard it even on the media say, these storms have their own mind. Well, you best believe they do. And maybe we need to wake up on how to fight the warfare between good and evil. God has given us the ability, the strength to do so. And so these saints that are praying in Florida and praying in wherever they happen to be becomes a warfare against the evil storms of technology. And the war begins between good and evil, and the power of the saints' prayers are pushing it out, then it's coming back, pushing it out again, coming back. I mean, it's just like going to war. And I guess that the demonic purpose is that the saints may grow. Well, first of all, the demonic purpose is to destroy mankind as much as possible for chaos, so that the one world order can rise up and control. But I believe for the Lord, it's a wake-up call. He is allowing it because it is a wake-up call to deal with injustice and sin that has been going on in this nation and all over the world, and to benefit mankind, get them aware, get them to see what's going on, get them on their knees. What say you on that?
Well, I would absolutely agree. And I'm thinking as you're talking, when Jesus in Luke chapter 13 was standing by and the people came to him and say, Lord, they've taken these people, they've mingled their blood, they've killed them. And he basically said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And what does that mean? Then he talks about the 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell. Righteous people die. You know, I want to look up the numbers in Nigeria right now. The Nigerian persecution that's going on is epic proportions at this point. They're saying it's nearing a genocide of the Nigerian Christians. And so there's a tremendous amount of persecution. But the good news for a person whose name is written in the book of life at the time of their death, when they've had their name written in that book, they're going to resurrect. They're going to come back to life. The fuel for the fire right now is really the wicked to a degree, just the bundling together of all the sticks, if you will, creating the fire for the big logs to come. And that's where you're going to have the massive destructions that will be hit by earthquake or whatever is going to produce that. But we need to realize something. God is really gathering together the wicked in these, you know, events. And what is wickedness to him is anybody who's not under the blood covenant, anybody who's not born again, anybody who does not have their name written in the Lamb's book of life, anybody that has rejected the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of fuel for the fire out there, isn't there? There's a lot of fuel, but sometimes we witness God's people dying or being persecuted or suffering. The difference is, when God's people die, they resurrect. It's a promise. They will come back to life again. And so there's a scripture in Isaiah says, the righteous man perisheth, and no man takes it to heart that the righteous perish to keep him from the times that lie ahead. In other words, sometimes God just allows people to leave the planet, not having to witness or go through the things that will come. I'm reminded of Josiah, Patricia, where the prophetess Huldah said, all the judgments are going to hit the land, but not in his time because he had a tender heart. And so Josiah never saw the devastating destruction because his heart was towards the Lord to get some things done along the way. And you and I need to be living in a way right now that our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And as we said yesterday, we need to be walking in the intelligence and in the integrity of the gospel and of the scriptures, really making sure that we are in right standing with God because we're operating according to his standard of righteousness and not our own. And the only real righteousness that any of us has is the righteousness that comes through our faith in what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf to lift us up and out of the degradation and depravity of our own human nature and our past sins and bring us into a new reality in the kingdom of God.
Well, we are at the latter day. In fact, we're at the end time. If we really take a deep look at this whole scenario, it's been that way in my estimation for the last 2,000 years. The church has been under attack. Christians have been under attack. And it's slowly now progressing to its ultimate conclusion. And what is that conclusion? God's remnant people. He's looking for a remnant people. God saved Noah and his family from the flood. God makes a covenant with Abraham. God always preserves a remnant of true believers, even while the majority of the world is going their own way and facing his judgment. That is why it is so important to understand who he is. He is good. He is merciful. He is righteous. He is gracious. He is sovereign. He's holy. And God's character is painted in the landscape of judgment. And you may say, well, how could that be? Well, if we avoid preaching on judgment, the truth of it, then we will be hiding God from his purpose. And that purpose is to bring in those who really want to serve him, a remnant people that will love him, as you said, with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, that he could bring into the glorious time of the millennium, the kingdom, which is right at hand.
Well, amen to that. You know, Patricia, we talk about the kindling for the fire as well. Seven people were killed over Labor Day weekend. This is just yesterday and the days before. And nearly three dozen, that's 36 people in total, were shot as Chicago endured yet another deadly weekend, according to the Chicago Sun-Times. The victims include two teenagers, 15 and 18 years old, and others killed during drive-by shootings or altercations at parties or sudden attacks on street corners. So this weekend's violence began with a 42-year-old Willie Coker was hit by shots reportedly from an unknown direction while congregating outside with others at about 12:20 a.m. Saturday. He was pronounced dead at the hospital with multiple gunshot wounds to his chest. Angel Perez, 18, was shot in the chest at Humboldt Park at around 4:45 a.m. in a drive-by. You shouldn't be out at 4:45 or 12:30 in the evening nowadays, right? But you do. He was pronounced dead. Another person who was with him at the time was shot but survived. So here you have seven people dead in Chicago, 36 people shot. We have a country that is being – the tethers are being torn, Patricia.
This is all the consequence of sin. We have to get our hand and mind in a direction of understanding what is going on, but why it's going on is more important. And I know what's going on, but why is it going on? And, you know, there is a knowledge that the God is judging to get our attention, to get us directed in the right way. He's saying, folks, the more you sin, the more judgment is going to hit your life. It's a consequence. And he's crying out for us to repent from our ways. And people don't like that word repent because it sounds too religious. Okay, change your ways and honor the God who created you and begin to understand his blessings like we had in the past because we honored him. He was even in the political realm. He was there in the Constitution. He was there in the Bill of Rights. He is there, but when we started to push him away, we began to sin more and more and rebuking the righteousness of what was in the right standing of government. And so now we find ourselves in deep trouble. It's the wages of sin, and the wages of sin is death.
And you would think that our national leaders by this time would have acknowledged our idolatry, our unfaithfulness, our offending the Most High God. You would think by now that our church leaders and the congregants in the church would have readily admitted that we have been lukewarm and compromised. You would think by now that people would have awakened to the reality this is not just average, normal human nature stuff going on. This is demonic warfare that has been allowed to go forth and to perpetrate upon the people this kind of death and insanity. You know, they're saying right now that there were 338 homicides in Chicago this year. 338 people were murdered in Chicago, drive-by shootings, this, that, and the other thing. Well, very soon it's going to be like the Wild West. People are going to be not just limited to Chicago, but it's going to break out into the public arena within our nation. And you're going to see these things. And that's what's happening right now. These drive-by shootings, these active shooter cases. It's becoming a very unsafe environment, and the people are going to be begging their government, do something, do something. And right now they're saying, here's what you do. Take guns away from everybody. Get rid of the guns. Get rid of the guns. And so that what you have is only a government empowered, and your Second Amendment rights are gone because they say this is the way to do it. The biggest attack in our country didn't come through guns. It was 3,000 people nearly killed by airplanes being flown into buildings. You know, whenever you want to have a Holocaust, and the meaning of the word Holocaust is an offering, a blood sacrifice. You know, whenever you want a Holocaust, 9/11 was a Holocaust. It was an offering to some satanic principle. It was a offering. And whatever that was all connected to, Patricia, there are some major Holocausts that are at the door in our nation.
Blood shedding. In an evil sense, in an evil way, destructive is always a Holocaust.
The 80 million abortions have been a Holocaust.
Exactly. And it's always an offering to Satan. It is his hunger that lifts and lacks up the blood. He feeds on it. And it is strengthening his being. and it's making it more and more powerful. Give him more blood and he becomes more powerful. And people may say that's impossible. That's fairy tale. No, it's not. You're going to find out more and more. God is awakening us up to the fact that we are going down a destructive path, a destructive path. When are our eyes going to open? Our foolishness, the darkness that has come over us is because of foolish thinking and foolish ways, denying the true and living God that was part of the United States of America very strongly up till the last 20 years.
Now, Patricia, today, with what you just said.
No, more years than that, actually.
Yeah, with what you just said, today the people are waking up to a report that 25 people so far, it's probably going to rise more like 40, 25 people were on a boat in Southern California, getting ready to scuba dive around one of the islands. The boat caught on fire. They were locked in their room somehow, and they burned to death. Yeah, but my point is, 25 people that were on a vacation, an expedition, were burned alive, burned to death. They were trapped in fire. It wasn't a school shooting. It wasn't a synagogue shooting. It wasn't a mall shooting. It were 25 people that should have been having the right to live and breathe, and they're dead. And the way of death was so horrific, unexpected. And what is the message here? The message to everybody listening right now: Make sure you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now, and make sure that our hearts are in tune with our Father in heaven, and that the melody of his goodness is what is resonating in you and I. It is so important for God's people right now to harmonize with the Spirit of God. The side of our Father that is full of love and compassion and mercy. Line yourself with it. Don't be on a boat somewhere, you know, telling the jokes or cursing or I don't know if anybody was doing that. I'm just saying, you know, why are 25 people burned alive like in hell that were just having a good time? They had families. They had homes. They had enough money to go out on a boat and go diving around an island. I mean, they were doing okay because life is short. It is a vapor, and stop thinking that every day is going to be okay. Make sure every day you are in aligned with God. We live in an environment right now where marijuana, the legal use of marijuana, is opening portals all over this nation. Forget about the stupid argument, whether it's okay or not. It's stupid. And anybody that's ever smoked the garbage knows how stupid it is. And a lot of people in the gang community, they love to take their bong hits and get stoned, and they love to go out and do violence because it promotes that within some people's psyche. No, we are living in a very sick, twisted time right now. Stop trying to make it normal. Stop trying to say this is the way it's always been. No, you are living in a sick, twisted environment, and your life, my life, can be taken at any moment. You've got to step out, and you got to step into what God is doing and be in the center of his will, and there maybe you could rejoice and be at peace and know that everything's okay. But if there's stuff going on in your life that is spots, wrinkles, blemishes, attitudes, conduct, the way that things are done, you've always done them that way, forget that nonsense. As I said earlier, isn't it time for the people in this country, you would think, to have long ago called it a solemn assembly and broke their hearts and fallen upon the rock?
What you're talking about regarding the boat and these people that were on it, when I saw that over the media, I noted that it was very demonic. I noted that it was not just an accident, but it was a sacrifice to hell. It was so obvious for anyone who has discernment what's going on. God wants to save us from this stuff, this horrific, unbelievable stuff that's going on right now. And what he wants is that we become more discerning in regards to ourselves, and we would not come under such judgment. You have the ability to do this if you would surrender your life to Jesus Christ, because he was judged for all of what we're seeing on the cross. And he was judged for all sin, for the horrible experiences of mankind. He took it upon himself that those who believed on him could be free from such judgments, the kind we're seeing. Now, I'm not saying there isn't martyrism. There is. And the martyrs will have eternal life in the most wonderful, incredible way. And there is a reason for that also. These innocent people loved God with all their heart, but they had not yet understood the power and the authority of God's ability to save under any condition. This faith-building process is necessary. I don't believe to know it all, but I know one thing. The power of God is there for us, and too many don't understand that power. To be released from the power of the enemy, the demonic presence, and Satan's horrific warfare against God's people and innocent people. Now, he is coming in stronger and stronger. The more blood he gets, the thirstier he becomes. Be healed in Jesus.
Amen to that, Patricia Joy. You know, when I, as you were talking, I was getting this little minor epiphany of what's really happening. And that is that God's hedge of protection is coming down within our nation. God's hedge of protection is coming down from our country. God's hedge of protection is being removed. Like the ozone layer that protects the earth from the sun rays, it's being removed. There have been so many holes poked into it. It's the immune system of a man or a woman that through terrible violence to their own bodies, their immune system begins to die. And they no longer have the ability to protect themselves from the bad diseases. And that's what AIDS was all about. AIDS was all about the immune system being without power or strength to protect. And the immune system of America is being depleted. And what you're noting is that there is terrible violence outside, disease that wants to enter in. It has no conscience. It has no conscience, this evil. And we are about to experience what the Bible calls Satan's fury, Satan's wrath, as his time of coming to this earth is at the door. Now, I have a firm belief, because the Bible says it, that God is able to protect those who trust him and belong to him, not in word, but in their very life. They belong to God. They've been purchased with his blood. They've been bought with a price. And God is able to secure. God is able to defend. God is able to protect. God is able for those who walk in his integrity and his righteousness, who are continually allowing the Spirit to bring them to the end of themselves and bring them to the fullness of a brand new life, which is better than the fullness of ourselves. And so this is what I see happening, Patricia. The hedge is coming down. The evil, satanic, demonic forces are pounding. And yet the remaining hedge, the immune system, is still fighting off a little bit. But the obvious reality is that America is dying. And there is coming a great strike against the heart of the United States of America that's going to deal the death blow. And we must make sure, as God's children, as God's people, that we are completely 1,000% sided with him, walking in obedience daily, walking in faithfulness, doing what is right. I can't explain it any other way or describe it.
Well, the cry is come to your knees, folks, and ask for forgiveness for the because of the times we're in. I mean, it would be right any time because of the great sacrifice done for you. But God has set a day when he will judge the world, and we're in that day. And he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And he has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Please hear our cry. If you don't surrender, there's going to be a very strong judgment on your life.
And that's the key right there, total, absolute surrender. I want to just refer one more time to the scriptures in Amos chapter 8, verse 3, and the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God, there shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Verse 9 says, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. And I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. And then the Lord talks about people that will wander from sea to sea, seeking the word of the Lord, and there will be a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And that is a society that is in turmoil and confusion, looking for answers that will find no answers. And you must have the answers fully downloaded in your spirit and in your mind. You must have a full spiritual knowledge and understanding of what is going on. And when these things hit in their fullness, when the Amos, you know, it begins in the summertime, and then it goes into the fall Feast of Tabernacles, where it's going to be turned into howlings. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not for all. It is at a time, it's the timing, and there will be many that are going to experience this. And I am a firm believer in the Feast of the Lord, and I do believe that there is wisdom in celebrating the Feast of the Lord among the righteous. Among the righteous. Patricia Joy.
Matthew 12:36 says, but I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. And that would be in regards to truth. And the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is calling us for a time such as this to rise up and be the warriors that he has called us to be.
All right, Patricia, I just looked at our screen, and we've got a caller calling in right now from area code 574. I'm not sure if they want to talk to us or not, but let's take the call. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Hey, you there?
I'm here.
Praise Jesus. You know, I want to comment on some stuff that you said earlier. Now, what I think is we need to thin out the herd a little bit. What I mean is the human population, I don't believe it's all good. I don't believe it's all good at all. I believe there's a lot of bad people, and you've been talking about it for a little while and stuff. So that stuff that happened in the Bahamas, well, you know, I worry about the little kids, but the, you know, everybody else I'm not worried about because they live in the Bahamas. And who was talking about big logs? You were talking about big logs. Everybody can't live where I can't say that. I just can't say it. I can't do it. So what I mean is you know, everybody's not good. And Patricia Joy, she's a fake Jew. She's faking being a Jewish woman. She's not. I can tell. I can smell it on her voice right there. And you were just talking about my loins. And I wish you'd stop doing that. Because now I'm not.
Sir, you sound a little bit insane, quite frankly. You know, you need to go get a take a chill pill somewhere. And we do thank you for the call, but I think you're nuts. And I think you better go get a take a break. So anyways, having said that, well, it just sounded a little strange to me.
Strange,
I mean,
yes.
Yeah, a little strange. A little strange fire in the house today. We got to go. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Looking forward to talking with everybody. We've just simply run out of time. Shalom.